Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with my buddy John Couch, John Engineering and producing the show. Here we go, huh? The final week of 2020, and there's so many people that are just saying, oh my goodness, I am so glad 2020 is going to be in the rearview mirrors. So we transition to a year we're all very hopeful about, 2021, and it's a pretty special week for myself and our program. We're wrapping up this week 10 full years on the radio, and then on Monday, a week from today, we will launch into the next decade, into year number 11 on the Buckmaster Show. In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every Monday, we kick off the program, and we've been doing this on the radio, as we say, for 10 full years with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators today, longtime Republican activist Barney Brenner is with us, and Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped e-commerce. The website looks really good, and not only can you get some great items on the website, but of course, walk into the store at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and they have a full gallery there at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Their website is moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen, how was your Christmas?
It was wonderful, quiet, just the two of us, my wife and I, and we enjoyed lots of great Christmas cookies and sweets. My wife is a great baker. In fact, she made kind of a rare favorite, which is a floatabowler. Those are Danish cookies, chocolate, marshmallow.
Ooh. Ooh.
And if you had them, I know you're drooling now. If you haven't, you need to find out and try them. They were just fabulous.
Wow. Something about the holidays that just looking at the calendar, I gain a couple of pounds. I do like sweets. There were a couple of cookies here in the studio today that I indulged in. But anyway, Barney Brenner, how was your Christmas?
Well, first let me say that my wife had a saying with her late husband that the best cookie is a stolen cookie.
Well, mine actually, yeah.
Even there if was accidental.
It was accidental. You did do double, you're doing double duty. And did Bill Beard bring in that beautiful tin of cookies for you?
He sure did.
Well,
so
you had left it in the studio, and
it.
I thought, oh, somebody's left these cookies here for the station.
There you go.
So I did indulge, but they really are great. Let's begin, Don Jorgensen. Is President Trump, Don, leaving this country, taking us on a ride through chaos here in these final days?
Well, I'd say taking us on a ride, but the train has jumped the tracks, and it's just a disaster as we're going through. You know, he's essentially quit on the job. I think everyone's aware of that, where he seems more concerned with his golf score than the millions that waited and wondered if they'd get any kind of relief. And even the relief that's come is coming late. Folks are missing out on at least a week's worth of financial support that is sorely needed, let alone all the pardons of his cronies going from crooks to murderers. It's just unconscionable what's happening. I think everyone's holding their breath for another 23 days to make sure there's not some other kind of disaster that Trump creates, let alone having to respond to anything else that's happened. The other issue that's popped up now, of course, is we're hearing that instead of the 20 million vaccines promised or people vaccinated by the end of the year, it's more likely to be 2 million, again, directly tied to the failure of the Trump administration to prepare for the distribution and get that rolling. So 23 days can't pass soon enough.
What do you think, Barney Brenner? Chaos in these final days of the Trump administration?
Well, there's been chaos in media perpetually. I guess Don doesn't recall or was AWOL during the pardons that the Clintons engaged in the final hours. And I'm going to remind you of these pardons We know that for 2.5 years, there was a witch hunt with 40 FBI agents and a virtually unlimited budget to look into supposed collusion between Trump and Russia, because, of course, Trump's election was stolen because of Russian collusion. But this one, with mountains of evidence, now, mind you, it hasn't been submitted in court because the court cases have been denied on procedural grounds, but no evidence has been allowed to be presented. And there are mountains that this election, let's just say, had huge problems. But, you know, there's so many things to touch on that Don mentioned the vaccine. And everybody was naysaying all year when Trump said we would have a vaccine produced by year's end. And he pulled out all the stops, killed the red tape. And in unprecedented fashion, we produced not one, but two different viable vaccines in the space of about 9 months. But of course, you know, the left doesn't want to give him credit for anything, but his accomplishments are really astonishing. One last thing I'll say on his accomplishments. We remember that the previous administration was awarded the Nobel Prize after being in office a matter of weeks and not doing anything. And if the previous president had done some of the things that Trump has done, for instance, getting multiple Muslim nations to recognize Israel, he would have been, forget Nobel Prize, he would have been nominated for sainthood.
All right, before I turn it back over to Don, are you saying that maybe Donald Trump should be nominated for the Nobel Prize?
Barney, he has been, Bill.
He has been?
Yeah, I think three nominations, which doesn't mean anything that they accept, but organizations and bodies can submit to the Nobel Commission nominees for the prize, and he has been nominated.
For COVID, for the operation?
You know what? I don't
okay.
want to
right.
say I don't recall
right.
for sure.
It's Don's turn here.
Well, with regard to the Nobel Prize, anyone can nominate anyone. It's whether the nomination is accepted that it becomes official, and none of those were. I know my friend Barney here has thrown a lot up against the wall, including the conspiracy theory stuff, which is just nonsense. But I'll come back to the vaccine issue because it's so critical. And again, to make one correction, Joe Biden did give credit to the current administration for pushing this public-private partnership. And a little aside there, which Republicans don't want to admit because they're so gung-ho on strict capitalism, and we all agree with strong capitalism, but there are times where having a public-private partnership works. They call it socialism. That's not what it is. It's a public-private partnership, and that's what made this happen. If it wasn't for government support, we never would have seen these vaccines be created as quickly as they were. Now, as many have said, it's not vaccines that keep people safe. It's vaccinations, and that's where the administration has fallen down, only providing 1/10 of what was promised to this point, and basically leaving a mess for the Biden administration to clean up, which is similar to what Obama faced after the last Bush administration. It's always the Democrats that have to clean up the Republican messes, whether they be economic or the auto industry or wars and such. And we're seeing that again with the catastrophic failures of the Trump administration when it comes to the economy and to the response to the coronavirus.
All right, Barney Brenner, Don said the Democrats have to clean up the mess.
I guess Don, for the second time, is exhibiting a very short memory. He is not considering a wonderful gentleman by the name of Ronald Reagan, who stepped into a malaise administration when we had, what do they call it in basketball? They call it a triple-double, with inflation, interest rates, and unemployment all in double figures.
1980 you're talking about.
Yeah, and prior. Within a couple of years, he had it significantly turned around. So, and there's
what,
one
after
other,
the Carter administration?
After the Carter administration. But there's one key thing here, and that is that to really be up on what's going on, you really have to dig through media. Because if you rely on MSNBC and CNN, you're going to get a half a picture. And guess which half is left out? So it's pretty common for the left to rely on a half a picture to bolster their arguments, but it's not the complete story.
All right, Don, you'll be up to the plate when we take after we take the break. Right now, Don and Barney, we've got New Year's coming up. And Barney, wouldn't a beautiful Danish kringle from Mona's Danish Bakery be wonderful on New Year's Day?
Do you have one for us to take with us?
Do I have to wait that long?
Do we?
I promise to wait till New Year's Day to eat it if you want to give it to us today.
They have the Danish kringle ready right now at Mona's Danish Bakery. You can put your order in for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, or whatever. Stop by, get it right now. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for lunch right now. They have limited indoor dining and lots of patio dining. Check it out, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We're going to take our break right now. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Don Jorgensen and Barney Brenner right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday before New Year's, the last Monday program of 2020. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, which sponsors our Buckmaster Show Live line. Another one of our great sponsors, really, since day one, as we come up on our 10 full year anniversary, is the two Vero Amore restaurants and their sister property, Noble Hops Craft Beer and Fine Fare out in Oro Valley. Don Jorgensen is with me in studio, as is Barney Brenner. I know both of Barney and Don like the Vero Amore product and Noble Hops. And Don, here's some good news. Buy $100. And that will get you a $25 gift certificate.
That would not be tough to accept. It's a great Italian restaurant. We've been there many times and always enjoyed it.
And Barney, I know you've enjoyed it as well. And so that's a great gift card promotion. And also they're trying to help out the food bank, Barney. Bring 5 cans for the food bank with you, and they'll knock $5 off your meal.
Nice.
So
this is a time when that kind of help is sorely needed.
Yes, it is. Our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. A lot of folks are wondering, Don, and I'd be very curious to hear also what Barney has to say about this, where the Republican Party is headed after Donald Trump. What do you think, Don?
Well, I think in reality, I know there's a lot of talk about perhaps splitting some way. I don't see that happen. It's never happened before. I think what you're going to see is a lot of selective memory loss. And what we've seen in Congress, particularly under Mitch McConnell, is they're not about principle, they're about power. And as soon as Trump leaves the Oval Office, he has no power. They have no interest in him. And so I think they'll revert back to their same focus, which is just strengthening their own power, denying Joe Biden any opportunity to lead this country. I see them continue to obstruct and deny the work moving forward to repair the economy, again, to finally solve the crisis brought about by Trump and such. But I don't see them splitting. I mean, if you look at what's happened just during the Trump administration, there was no real opposition to anything Trump said. There was a lot of concern and a lot of worry on the part of different Republicans. And occasionally one would step out independently, like Mitt Romney with the only vote.
It'd be hard to see that happening when you look at the popularity among Republicans of Donald Trump, that there would be a split of Republicans.
Well, that's it. And look at now. The only time that they resisted Donald Trump was just recently when they opposed him wanting to send more money to working people. Mm-hmm. When he proposed the 2,000, they kept it at 600, even though they fought that for months and months and months. So I don't see a big change. It's the only question is how much power will the extremists in their party claim? And I think we're going to see a real good test of that in Arizona in 2022. We have the governor position
yeah, we have
up.
That, we yeah, have that a, race.
The Senate race again
Senate
with
race,
Mark Kelly.
Yeah.
And here you've got the extremist nuts like Kelly Ward and those minions who are opposing the old guard Republican Party, I guess you'd call it.
All right. All right, Barney, a couple of minutes, a rebuttal to Don.
Well, it's too much to unpack in a couple of minutes, but I'm glad Don at least now acknowledged that Donald Trump was the one that stepped up and suggested the 2,000, because 600, if you really dissected that budget, the amount of garbage in it was unbelievable. They could have given every American well more than 2,000, and by eliminating aid to multiple other countries. The amount of leftist wish lists that were put in there is just astonishing. It doesn't take much work to really look into it. But for the second time, Don brought up the economic mess that Donald Trump left us. And that is entirely a result of the lockdown this year. Because again, I guess his memory is short and he didn't recall that we had record high unemployment, full employment, record high employment, record stock market. We had trade negotiations improve with multiple countries. The most miraculous thing of all is something that perhaps one of Don's heroes, John Kerry, said could never take place, is that peace between any Muslim countries and Israel, absent a negotiation for the Palestinians having their own state. And we have four, and we're hoping for another one yet, four Muslim countries have normalized relations with Israel. Astonishing and unprecedented. And lastly, under the Trump administration, we had record low unemployment for blacks and Hispanics. So all of that was carrying into 2020 until this virus and this lockdown hit. So that was a pretty darn good record.
Don, I want to go to the live line. Greg has been waiting. Let's hear what Greg has to say. Greg, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. You know, I really got a laugh out of what you said, Don, about the Republicans, not about principle or about power, because immediately I was thinking of the Biden family. And if you want to, you know, the expression, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. If you looked at the president's daughter when she introduced him and he accepted the nomination, what a beautiful family. What a great family. On the other hand, hopefully the Justice Department will expose the quid pro quo between Biden as vice president for 8 years, all of the favors, all of the monies, the changed hands. What a corrupt guy.
Okay, Greg, let's hear what Don Jorgensen has to say to your comment.
Well, when you start to talk about the Trump family, how beautiful they look and all that, I thought you were then going to refer to Ivanka and her deals under the table with China, the fact that she's under investigation now for diverting inaugural funds into the Trump slush funds, and interestingly, just bought, I think, $30 million worth of property outside of Miami, which is similar to the amount they took from the campaign funds. And the interesting part about that is there's rumors that she's going to challenge Marco Rubio in the primary in 2022, which gets back to our previous discussion about the party split and be very entertaining. But if you want to investigate Hunter Biden, it's been going on for a while, and that's fine. We should, if anything's happened. But by the same token, you also need to investigate Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner and all their under-the-table dealings, Donald Trump Jr. Let's have a fair balanced field here and let the truth come out.
Barney, your remarks, please.
Well, when you have the media, and old and new, burying a story prior to the election about Hunter Biden and his relations with China and being enriched, forget $30 million, that was chump change compared to what the Bidens did, and with references to the big guy, which was clearly his dad, that was squashed. The New York Post published that story, and Twitter, in basically an in-kind political donation prior to the election, squashed the story and cut off the New York Post's Twitter account so that this couldn't come out prior to the election.
That story really didn't go anywhere.
Well, it didn't until you watch. There's going to be some, and this is just conjecture, but we'll have to see now that they are exposing that after the election, because I and many other people don't believe that Mr. Biden is going to be in that office for his full term.
Okay.
Or anywhere near.
Just about a minute to go, Don. Your final remarks today?
Well, at least Barney's consistent. We keep hearing the same thing. Just wait, just wait. It's just conjecture. Just wait. We heard the same thing with the so-called fraudulent election, which is determined to be one of the most secure and fair in history. Now we're hearing about Biden's just wait, just wait, when in fact we have investigations going on right now with the Trumps. I think we'll see that continuing over time. I think everyone's waiting just 23 days when everyone can breathe a breath of fresh air and get back to hopefully bipartisan politics and a president that you're not ashamed to have your children look up to.
If
you're listening to talk radio, you are more informed than the average citizen out there. So don't accept face value. Dig a little deeper. You'll find the holes in Mr. Jorgensen's info.
And quick question, Barney. Do you think the president will attend the inauguration? Just your gut feeling.
I have no way of knowing
either way,
but I wouldn't blame him if he didn't. There were something like 60 Democrats in Congress who boycotted his.
Okay. We will leave it right there. Don Jorgensen, good to see you. Thank you very much. Happy New Year, Don.
Thank you, and congratulations again on 10 years of the show.
10 full years. There you go. Barney, Happy New Year to you.
I didn't realize it was 10. Happy New Year to you, and congrats as well.
Thank you very much. And Barney, I appreciate you coming in on short notice today.
Buddy.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll be right back.
What?
CBS News Brief. After months of negotiations, President Trump finally caved and signed that $900 billion coronavirus relief bill as is, after first calling it a disgrace. CBS News senior political analyst John Dickerson says it was an ineffective strategy.
It wasted a lot of time, and it's not like the stakes aren't high for all the other things on the agenda in front of government. There is a lot to be concerned about, and so this was really just a lot of wasted effort running around the mulberry bush.
The president continues vacationing in Florida, where he is playing golf for the fifth time in 5 days. Health officials are warning about a post-holiday surge of coronavirus cases. Correspondent Jerika Duncan.
COVID did not take a Christmas break. The U.S. reported more than 19 million cases since the pandemic began. The death toll in this country, 333,000. More than 64,000 of them have died just this month alone.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this week before we launch into a brand new year. I'm ready for 2021. I'm also ready to seal up 10 full years on the radio and launch year 11. That happens next Monday. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing at 3384 East River Road. Throughout the holiday season, I've been talking about going and getting a poinsettia from Green Things to give to a neighbor. You know, Christmas may be over, but if there's a neighbor alone, why not a poinsettia to welcome in the new year? Take it to a neighbor, take it to someone, take a couple and say, you know, you don't even need to really just ring the doorbell or make a call and say, I left something on your porch, and it would brighten up that person who might be alone this holiday and to welcome in a new year with something very beautiful. They still have some beautiful poinsettias over at Green Things. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and, of course, zocalovillage.com. Let's go now on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Phoenix and Will Humble. Will is the executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association. He's also the former director for the Arizona Department of Health Services. Will, how was your Christmas?
Hey, good. Thanks. It's nice to be back, Bill. Everything's okay. Everything's good.
A month ago, we talked about what was going to be a very difficult December. That certainly is shaped up. I'm looking at these numbers today, over 10,000 cases. Do you think some of that might be because yesterday, I don't know if the reporting was off on the Sunday and it's a holiday season, it was like only about 1,200 cases. So what do you make of those numbers today?
Well, there's just an awful lot of noise in the system on these essentially four-day weekends. If you think about, you know, both Christmas Eve on a Thursday, New Year's Eve is going to be on a Thursday. So it's really four-day weekends, which wreaks havoc with staffing, both at the laboratories that do testing and at the state and county health departments who have people that take time off, combined with the fact that people go in and get tested at different frequencies depending on the day of the week. So what I look at is the seven-day moving average rather than just the daily number of cases. That really smooths out the trends. And what we're seeing in the state right now is on a seven-day moving average, we're at about 6,600 new cases per day, which is the highest that it's been throughout the entire pandemic.
You know, it's just amazing. Everything is relative in life. When you look at Australia today, they decided there would be no celebration in Sydney Harbor, where the people have seen the video, I'm sure, and the pictures. That's kind of one of the first places where we welcome in the new year in Sydney, Australia, with the fireworks. Today, they decided there will be no big fireworks or big celebration because they had 15 new cases in Sydney. And then you compare that, Will Humble, to what we are seeing in Arizona. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it just really shows, there has been such a wide range in how well different countries have managed this. The top of the list is places like Taiwan, who've done tremendously well, New Zealand, Australia, South Korea, Vietnam. I mean, these are not countries with unlimited resources. Take Vietnam. Think about that. They've done way better than we have. Now, why is that? You know, a lot of people say, well, it's the discoordinated federal response and blame the federal government or blame individual governors. But you know what? A lot of this comes down to human behavior. I mean, are people willing to make small changes in their, and sometimes bigger changes, in their daily lives for a greater good? And on many of these countries, the answer is yes. In the U.S., the answer is pretty much no.
Think about the distrust that goes back for hundreds of years, actually, in the United States. I was reading a book about the famous hotel guy and Fred Harvey. It's kind of his biography. And they were talking about time zones that in the 1870s, there were 50, Will Humble, time zones in the United States. The reason that it took so long to go to a standardized time, the people in all these different areas didn't trust the government. Finally, the major railroads got together and said there will be four time zones. But then you look also, Will, at what's gone on with the whole mask controversy.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, a lot of these other countries, you know, when there's, you make a compelling argument to collectively change behavior, people do it. And, you know, in this country, they don't. I mean, some people have, of course, but not enough people have made the kinds of simple lifestyle changes that could have really made a big difference. And we see the results of that. But I'll back up a second and say, you know, here's the thing about the United States is the people in the U.S. are a very independent-minded group of folks. And that has benefits and it has downsides. The benefits are that we're a very entrepreneurial people. You know, we invent things. We come up with new ideas. We're innovative. And that leads to GDP growth and, you know, greater economic opportunities for people. But it also, that same mindset leads to the kind of disconnected, coordinated effort when it comes on during a pandemic. So I don't look at this as purely a failure of the American people. It's part of who we are in that we're an independent lot, and that's bad when you have a pandemic. It's good when you're trying to be innovative and create economic opportunity.
Let's talk a little bit about this mutant strain. There's actually, I know that the one in the United Kingdom has been getting all the publicity, but there's actually one, a mutant strain that has emerged in Nigeria. There's a mutant strain that has emerged in South Africa. These apparently, it's make things a little more contagious, maybe much more contagious. But the good news, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it looks like the vaccines will cover us with this.
Yeah, so that's right, Bill. There have been actually thousands of individual mutations in the genetic code for this virus over the course of the pandemic all around the world. The new UK strain is, I think it's about 13 base pair changes or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, there are literally thousands of mutants, you know, mutation and mutations on the genome, and the vaccine researchers anticipate that RNA viruses are going to change a little bit over time with mutations, and so when they build their vaccine strategy, they build it so that it is flexible and covers a number of different what are called antigens. And so there's every reason to believe that the vaccines that have produced by both Moderna and Pfizer and AstraZeneca, which is on the horizon, will be effective against these new strains. But as you mentioned, there is some evidence that, especially on the UK strain, that it is easier to transmit because of some of the mutations that occurred that affect the one of the spikes on the protein coat that makes it easier to latch onto cells within your body. But as you said, yeah, the good take-home message is that there's every reason to believe that the vaccine is still safe and effective. This virus is not like influenza, which is prone to major antigenic shifts, and which is one of the reasons why we need to get a new flu vaccine shot every year. This is a very different virus, and we have not seen any big antigenic shift, the like of which we see with influenza.
And apparently reinfection is possible, but very unlikely. That's what we're learning now in new studies that have been done. And so apparently we have some kind of protection at least for 6 months if we've gotten the COVID-19.
That's correct. That's right. And probably much longer, but you have to be honest with yourself. We don't know until we live through it. I mean, this virus has only been around for about a year now. And so there's a lot we still don't know. 2 years from now, we'll know exactly how long immunity lasts. But we don't know that yet. But there's every reason to believe that it lasts at least a couple of years. The reason I say that is the first SARS virus, and I don't know if we've talked about this on our monthly gig here. There was the SARS virus in 2003, the first SARS virus, which was thankfully eradicated with good public health epidemiology and follow through. But that virus, the folks that were infected with that virus had immune system protection for a longer time. And the reason they know that is by looking at antibody titer levels and T cell levels. So there's every reason to believe this will also provide some longer lasting immunity, but we don't know yet.
And a quick follow-up before we take the break. Why did the SARS virus, why was that nipped in the bud? And was that just as highly contagious as COVID-19?
Well, there wasn't the asymptomatic spread with that virus.
Okay.
That's why. Good question. It's because if people weren't infectious until they had symptoms with that virus. And here we have, with this virus, a lot of pre-symptomatic spread, people spreading it when they still feel well, and people spreading it who never felt bad at all. That's the reason.
All right, we're going to take the break right here. Will Humble will continue with his monthly visit with us on the Buckmaster Show. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He also does a blog about health you can check out. He's the former state agency director of health here in Arizona. It's the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Will Humble is on our live line, and that is courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Happy New Year from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They, like everybody else, are hoping for the best in 2021. And so soon, I hope you'll be able to take that road trip 3 hours from Tucson to Silver City and Grant County. Start your planning now, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find all sorts of ideas about what to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and great places to stay as well. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go back on the live line for his monthly visit to the program, Will Humble, who is now the executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association, former director for the Arizona Health Department. And Will, let's see if I can put a dent in my stack of stuff that I still have for you. Some of it may have to be carried over until next month, but I did notice, Will, I took a look at the influenza numbers. And very, very impressive as far as suppression of influenza. I looked at the nationwide map. There is only one state, I believe it is Oklahoma, that is even reporting what would be considered moderate flu activity. The rest is green, Will Humble.
Yeah, that's not surprising. The same thing was observed in the Southern Hemisphere. Because they have an opposite season as us, and they saw, because of the COVID-19 interventions, especially the masks part of it, that they had far fewer cases of influenza than they would normally have. So I expect to see the same thing throughout the course of the spring here in Arizona and in the U.S.
Are we getting closer? Last month we talked about maybe having to do that, go at the hospitals to some kind of a triage system. Are we getting close to capacity? What is your prediction for after there should be probably some kind of a holiday surge for a couple of weeks into January? What's your prediction?
Yeah, there's really two surge levels. One is called contingency levels of care, and the other is called crisis standards. I think we're working right now in contingency levels of care. That means people who need a procedure are not able to get one right now if it's not life-threatening. And so, like, if you need an emergency appendectomy, you'll be able to get it right now. But if you have, you need a surgery on your heart that's not life-threatening, or if you need, like, prostate cancer surgery or something that's not life-threatening immediately, a lot of those procedures are being pushed off to make room for others with COVID-19 within the hospitals. That's happening now. That's contingency levels of care. Crisis standards of care means that you're actually making decisions about who's going to live and who's not going to get the resources to allow them to live. We're not there yet. The hospitals are continuing to make that happen. In Southern California, they're there. They got there a couple of days ago where they're actually at the crisis levels of care. We're not there yet, but the modelers, we talked about the modeling team last month with the academics both here at the ASU and at U of A, they have been predicting that we will be approaching crisis standards of care in early January without some significant interventions. And of course, as we know, there have not been those kinds of policy decisions being had been made by the governor yet, at least.
So it seems, as we look at the calendar here, Will, when you look at the holiday rush will be, you know, over here after New Year's, then probably a couple of weeks that the case numbers would go up. Do you think that January looks real tough, doesn't it, until we then can maybe breathe a little easier?
Well, it's going to be tough in terms of number of new cases per day and number of new cases of the virus for quite some time. But the sooner we get the people vaccinated and assisted living in skilled nursing facilities, the better off we'll be in terms of hospital capacity. So expect the hospital crisis to resolve more quickly than the drop off in new cases. You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
The focused effort to get seniors vaccinated will pay dividends later on in January, because the sooner we get those high risk people vaccinated, the sooner we'll be able to provide some relief in the hospitals. But the new cases are going to continue on.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not going to change.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. But, you know, when you think about 40% of the deaths in this country are people who have been in nursing homes. So that does make sense. Putting getting these people a shot in the arm of these people is going to pay dividends probably relatively quickly.
Yeah, that's right. And that effort's happening this week. So the federal government has a contract with CVS and Walgreens to get out to the nursing homes and the assisted living centers in the next 2 weeks. I think nursing homes are first. And they're vaccinating the people that live there, but also the staff. And so that is a real key to driving down the number of the fatality rate for this thing, but also providing relief in the hospital system.
You think phase one, I think, goes up through phase one, 1C, where people over 65 will get the shot. Do you think we might reach that in March, by March?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Well, a lot will depend on what happens with both the production levels at Pfizer and Moderna. I mean, if they have an interruption in their processing, if they have some sort of a quality control issue in their manufacturing process, that could really throw a hiccup into the process. But if Moderna and Pfizer continue to process and get vaccine out, and if we can get the AstraZeneca vaccine authorized under emergency use in January, that will help a lot. So if those things happen, then I think we will see some hospital relief by March. Yeah. And, you know, once you get somebody vaccinated in a nursing home, they'll have antibody titer to protect them in about a month. Same with the staff that work there. So if we can get them done by New Year's Day, that would mean that people in assisted, that, well, at least skilled nursing, which they're first, they could be protected by the end of January. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. So much of this has been a drag. And you know what I mean?
I know.
But the vaccine part of it is the shining light. It really is.
All right. I've got about 30 seconds. Should we be taking vitamin D? New study shows 77% more likely to test positive if you are vitamin D deficient.
There's been some evidence of that throughout the pandemic about the association of vitamin D levels and and your outcomes. So I'll answer that question. Yes. Be careful with your doses, because vitamin D is not a water-soluble vitamin, so it's possible to take too much. And remember that there's fewer hours of sunlight right now in Arizona, so that's how you get your vitamin D. And so during the winter, all of us should be taking some supplemental vitamin D just because we don't get the kind of sunlight we need.
All right. Will Humble, always a pleasure. Happy New Year to you, Will. We'll talk in about a month, and we'll see where we are in this ongoing pandemic. I hope that light in the tunnel will be shining a little brighter in 30 days. Thanks, Will.
Okay, take care. Thank you. Bye.
Will Humble with us on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, I almost said Will Couch. I'm Will. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.